This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Championship again, ole ole. Championship again, ole ole. Championship again, championship again, championship again, ole ole. Championship again, ole ole. Championship again, ole ole. Championship again, championship again, championship again, ole ole.
Hello and welcome back to yet another episode of Green and White, brought to you by Argyle Life. Before we get into this one, obviously a bit of housekeeping. A customary plea for me to ask you to like, share, subscribe, retweet, comment, get involved and ask questions as we go. Oh, there we go. Definitely didn't read that off a script. Just yesterday, obviously it's a big day yesterday. We hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. And as always, we are incredibly grateful that you seem to enjoy us waffling on, or more, shall I say, John waffling on. Anyway, back to the pod, a happy pod. How I've missed these. Enzo Maresca, Gary Lineker, David Attenborough, Gok Wan. Who else? X-Factor's Sam Bailey, Engelbert Humperdinck. Your boys took one hell of a beating as Plymouth Argyle have...
Engelbert Humperdinck?
Yeah, he's from Leicester.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Plymouth Argyle have beaten recent Premier League winners and then league leaders Leicester City 1-0 at Home Park in front of the Sky Sports cameras, making it two wins in a row on TV and unbeaten in three under Neil Dushnip and Kevin Nanskeville. Neil Warnock who? Mustapha Bundu's 21st minute strike saw the Moose outwit the Foxes with a sensational finish to send the Green Army delirious in one of the best atmosphere... Sorry, what's funny?
Moose. It was actually a funny pun, mate. We were just so shocked by it.
Yeah, no, Moose, I don't normally do this.
Foxes. Very good.
Thank you. Obviously, one of the best atmospheres Argyle have seen in quite some time. I'm sure we'll get onto that as well. A reminder that when Leicester won the Premier League, Mustapha Bundu was at Hereford in the ninth tier of English football, also having a brief stint at Newquay AFC that season too. A resolute defensive display saw the type of organisation Ian Foster could only dream of. And Argyle's win seems likely to preserve championship status of both clubs for yet another season. Joining me tonight, I'll just go in clockwise order as always. John Allsop, how's things?
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. I can confirm that Sam Down will be joining us. He thought the pod was 8 p.m. he has been disabused of this notion and says he is coming. So... for all of those of you who have turned up specifically for him, he is on his way.
Yeah.
Poor from Sam. Be waiting for the good stuff.
We've already lost Joe's with a few beers. I think you've been on them as well today, haven't you, John? Are you still drinking whilst we're live?
Can neither confirm nor deny.
That's class.
That this pan of Kona Island lager that I found in my fridge is being consumed while we do the pod.
That's not sponsored. No ad revenue made from that.
Other beers are available.
Very good. Thank you. Ben, other T-shirts are available, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Came today. Oh. Got the Kev Nance, Graham Carey, Peter Halmoshi, Roman Lario one. Very, very, very good quality. Bought with my own money, to be honest, as well. What a mug. Also have the Mumba jumper because I thought that sounded good. Top quality. And talking of mugs, live unboxing. Not seen it yet. Oh, beautiful. Can we see? Is it going to be? I think it's the one on the side of the screen, actually, which is always do that there.
Yeah.
It looks quality. Really, really good. Yeah.
You've got a bit blurry and there. People
say that all we do is sell things.
Absolutely. No, it's quality stuff. I was a little bit of a fanboy, but I'm glad I was. I like it.
And before we introduce the main star of the show who's appeared
backstage,
that's the word that I was looking for. Adam Price, how's things? You good?
Yeah, very well. My match isn't here yet, but it will be before long. So I think just for my happiness, it's good to be on a podcast after the worst result for Engelbert Humperdinck since the 2012 Eurovision Song Contest. So yeah, just very happy to be involved in that sort of game.
Absolutely class. He should have done much better back then as well, having a strong listenership in Azerbaijan. Should we bring him in? Should we bring him in now? Oh, bring him in as he's walked off. Brilliant.
Hola.
Hello. I hope everybody's noticed the change of background. I now don't have, for once, have house rates downstairs, which means I can use the downstairs, which means...
Hey.
Wow.
What a night.
That joke will now become a niche for all the early listeners of the pod. But in later years, people won't understand why we make chair jokes anymore.
Oh, don't worry. I think it is very much a one-off. I'll probably be back to the previous angle next week. But enjoy
good.
It. Enjoy the sitting down. Enjoy the backdrop of the half and half Liverpool Plymouth Argyle scarf. That's George's decor choice, not mine.
I thought I was going to be the roughest looking one on the pod today, but I think it's safe to say that I'm doing at least average in the looking rough after the win stakes.
Yeah. Rory pops up asking if that's a half and half scarf in the background. I got there already with my explanation before he even asked the question. That's a very unkind question, Gaz. You're right, it is a struggle.
Should we get on with the actual pod?
Yes, yes, let's, yeah.
I feel like 6 minutes of just waffle is far too much, seeing as... John, why don't you run us through this game?
Yeah, this was risking turning into the Apprentice Shopping Channel challenge, wasn't it? a little bit there for a minute. have to say Ben did better than any of the candidates in that task this year. No, it was obviously absolutely brilliant last night, wasn't it? I was there. Been to quite a few home games this year, but not, you know... not all of them by any stretch of the imagination. I managed to miss most of the terrible run of home games under Foster when things got really, really toxic, thankfully. But even, you know, compared to that run, last night was obviously incredible. But I think really just compared to any night at home park, it was right up there. I was not there for the home run-in last year. I went to quite a lot of away games last year, home games earlier in the season, but I was out of the country and sort of, you know... around various places, so missed the Burton game and the Bristol Rovers game before that. I was not there when we went up in 2016-17 either. So with those caveats, I would say it's the second best atmosphere I've ever heard inside home park after the Pompey playoff semi-final, which was probably just a little bit, you know, a notch higher than last night. But the atmosphere was just unbelievable. This kind of nervous energy channeled into phenomenal support, loud support. And I think it created a siege mentality, which obviously brings us onto the game. And I would say that, you know, you sort of jokingly mentioned in the introduction, Ian Foster could only dream of that performance. But I think there's actually kind of a serious point to that. You know, Foster sort of tried to set us up as a team that were very well drilled and could win games 1-0, which I think you do, you know, as much as a lot of our fans don't like it, I think you do sometimes have to know how to do at this level. That was the consummate, perfect 1-0 win against a side who are a lot, lot better than you. You know, we... looked a little bit ropey for the first 10 minutes. I think I was sat there with Dan Ellard saying these lot are a bit good, you know, moving the ball very slickly. Had a couple of probably half chances really, but Cooper, you know, dealt well with that Fatawu cross and then saved sharply from Ricardo Pereira after a very nice move. And I think at that point, you're probably thinking we're in for a long evening. But, you know, so many times at home recently, we haven't got that first goal that's all important. Last night we got it. It was a little bit of a fortuitous kind of bounce to Forshaw. in midfield, but some nice sort of link-up play between him and Whittaker, certainly in terms of the intention. And then Forshaw swept a ball out to Bundu, who we know has done the rest with, you know, I know hindsight's 20/20, but really, when I saw him charging down the wing with it and cutting inside, I just thought he's going to score here. You just sort of seem to have that. He's an inconsistent player, but he just sort of seemed to have that determination, like he sort of had that situation totally under control. And it was a wonderful finish. Kind of reminded me of some of Finazaz's goals at Home Park earlier in the season before he sadly left. You know, the kind of composure to have a few defenders between him and the goal, but to kind of bend it through and around their legs and right into the bottom corner. Just a sensational goal. And obviously, you know, that was the game plan, I assume. You know, kind of soak up pressure, but then hit them, you know, clinically on the counter-attack. We did that. And after that, I thought we defended, I don't want to say totally comfortably, because obviously, you know, a more comfortable 1-0 win could be imagined. But given that you're playing a team who are top of the league, you have all of that unbelievable Premier League quality, given it's probably on paper, I would say the biggest mismatch personnel-wise of the entire Championship season. You make a case that maybe Rotherham are worse on paper than us, or that Leeds are better on paper than Leicester, but it's close. Given that, I think you could not really imagine a more comfortable final 70 minutes. You know, they, I thought, were very predictable. I'm sure we'll come on to my thoughts on Enzo Maresca at some point later in the pod, and Sam will come on to opening his wallet in relation to that thought. You know, they were very predictable, moved the ball nicely 25 yards out, but we shut them down. And bar, you know, a couple of half chances for Vardy where Cooper was kind of in the right place to smother it, and then Vardy just couldn't get on the end of that cross late on. There wasn't a lot in the game, I didn't think, for the remainder of it. If we'd shown a bit more composure, we could maybe have added one or had a chance to do so on the break as well. We had a couple of moments where maybe just sort of won the ball through turnovers high up the pitch and didn't use it particularly well. But obviously that's quibbling. You know, it was a fantastic performance. Yeah, again, the perfect 1-0 win, a brilliant defensive display. And yeah, just a magic night that I'm sure will live long in the memory for everyone concerned.
Do you want to follow him up, Adam? Do you want your say?
Yeah, go on. And I think to touch on the atmosphere as well, I'm glad it's just about possible, because I thought for quite a while that my voice would be so gone that I wouldn't be able to join in. I imagine that's the case for quite a few with the noise yesterday. Yeah, it's I think it rarely stopped, did it? I think the influence that clearly had on the way that we were the way that we were all gathering around for the team as those minutes ticked on, as it looked like, you know, maybe we're actually going to do this, and everyone started to believe, was fantastic. And I mean, the fact that you're even getting most sections of the Mayflower joining in with "Stand Up If You Love the Greens" is pretty testament to just how behind the team that we were. And I think that's obviously crucial, as is the way that we got the win, particularly when you look at there are a few hairy moments of some of the results are coming in today and thinking, God, how big is that win going to be? I mean, there's the game itself. I think John summed it up quite nicely in the sense that it's the perfect 1-0. We got our goal. We defended very well, particularly compared to the way that we have defended in probably quite a lot of the home games that we've seen very recently against, arguably, and I say arguably because it's very much up for debate a minute, the best team in the league. It was a different type of defensive performance to the ones that we've seen. I mean, Dan Scar still picked up man of the match for in some quarters and I think for the vote online. And he was very good, but he was very good in a different way. It wasn't the case that he needed to win the ball in the air often, because that's not how Leicester play. But the fact that he got himself in there, the fact he made a good number of clearances, I think obviously made him a key part of what we were doing. And I know he wasn't mentioned in quite the same breath through that or through Sky, but Brendan Galloway as well was hugely impressive at the back. A number of tackles that he put in as well to stop a lot of Leicester's moves before they could even get going was brilliant. Did we ride our luck at times? Yes. Patson Daka could have scored. Jamie Vardy could have reached it at the back post in the last minute. But frankly, with the sort of budgetary mismatch that there is in that, you're going to have to ride your luck a few times to get a result against such opposition. And we did that. We put ourselves in the best possible position to get a wholly unexpected result. And we did it. And I think the best part of it, I know there'll be a lot of discussion on what's happened in the Championship since, but to go into a weekend where we're playing Leicester at home, by far the hardest game we have left, and to come out of it 2 points clearer of the relegation zone than we were when we went in, it's hugely impressive. That's not to say it's over, but it's hugely impressive. And I think credit has to go to just about everybody who was in Home Park last night for that.
Rory says it's harsh to drop Joe Bell for such a big game. Joe Bell dropped us, if anything. I don't know if he's told you. He may have tweeted about it that he is out on the barbican. It's unlike Joe to tell people about things or tweet about it multiple times. So don't know if you've seen that.
I actually dropped a pint over his trousers yesterday on the subject of Joe and dropping things. So I was hoping to apologise to him on air, but obviously he's got more important things to do.
I thought they were your legs, to be honest, in the group chat. But anyway, moving on to some full-time thoughts. Barry Evans says, annoyingly, I had to play darts, but I got to watch it without the sound. What a performance, what a club. No other words needed. Paul Burke, inject that atmosphere into my veins. Massive, massive win. That takes some pressure off the awkward game next week. Big, big shift from the boys and good use of the subs tonight too. Ashley, not good with pronunciation. Bohr. Let's say Bohr. Ashley Bohr. I celebrated a goal kick when it was the 63rd minute. Matt says, just incredible. That is all. Lewin Reed, massive, massive result. We need to make sure that we don't assume we're safe now. Still three big games to go. Tony Bullock Formosa says that they earned their bonus tonight. I nearly read out Jack's then. I'm glad I didn't because I think that might accidentally get cancelled. Switching over to Facebook, Mark Tool says, my thoughts are brilliant, resilient, and we had Lady Luck with us tonight. The team deserve this. They deserve to stay in the Championship and build and move on as a club from here. They never deserve the strange sideways move with Foster. Onwards now, Argo. One more point should do it. Well done. Keith Newton, can we play Friday night all the time? And Mark Bloom just says, Home Park was rocking tonight. It absolutely, well, I wasn't there, but from the Sky Sports cameras, it looked like it was actually rocking. Those celebrations at full time, the camera was actually bouncing. So might be some structural issues there on that bit they've built into the back of the Lyndhurst. Where am I going with this? Ben, why don't you praise some people? Is there anyone specifically you wanna praise from that lineup?
What I thought was really nice is I thought Morgan Whittaker played pretty well. I think he had a few heavy first touches and had some poor decision-making at times, but he did all right. But I thought it was nice for a team that was being called the Morgan Whittaker team so often this season that everybody else in the team had a really good game and was able to shine. I'm not saying that, you know, Morgan Whittaker had a bad game and everyone else played well, but it was really nice that everyone else, you know, Randall played brilliantly, Forshaw played brilliantly, the whole back, you know, apart from, you know, Miller, we didn't see much of. The whole back line played brilliantly. Hardy put himself about, even though he's shattered. Bundu's finish was pinpoint perfect between the defenders in the bottom corner. I mean, I don't know what the XG on it was, but you have to think sort of 9 times out of 10 or 19 times out of 20, you don't find that spot. And that was, you know, exactly what we needed, as has been said, to sort of for the narrative, for the game plan to work out. So I don't think it's really good to single anyone out. I thought it was really nice that the whole team shone, as Juicenip said, to put themselves on a national stage and show what they can do after they've been talked down a lot. And as Dan Scar, I think it was said, sort of had the confidence and the belief knocked out of them a little bit in the last few months to be able to go out and put in performances like that, to recover some self-belief for the last few games and to instill, to re-germinate that sort of belief that we had. You know, you pointed out, you, I think, retweeted some polls that you put out after the QPR game and then after this one. And, you know, a lot of people had us going down. A lot of us, you know, the Green Army thought we were going down after the QPR result. And I think last night, I don't think anybody now thinks we're going down. Yes, it's maybe not completely done yet, but just the quality. And it was quality, you know. Rotherham was good to see an improvement. There was an improvement, but it wasn't a great performance. You know, if we performed like we did against Rotherham against QPR, we'd have probably lost. Yes, they absolutely do. Sorry, I always do that, respond to the comments and realise that a lot of people listen on podcasts. It's just a comment from ATID saying Leicester have the biggest bunch of drips for a fan base in England. And I wholeheartedly concur. We've met some absolutely honking fan bases in the Championship. Makes me feel bad for the way I talked about some of the League One fan bases. But Leicester, I think, do take the biscuit.
Sorry, who? Yeah, who are you talking about?
I'm not.
Wait, there were Leicester fans last night.
Yes, it was very much a "we forgot you were here."
Genuinely, I was sat three blocks away and I didn't hear them at all. Yeah. Genuinely, all night. I didn't even hear them booing their players off, which is a bit of a shame because
the only time I heard them was when Patson Daka got subbed off and they did the ironic jeering of their own player being subbed off, which I think is not something I think any set of fans should ever do to their players unless their player is, you know, really just withheld effort, which I don't think Patson Daka did for all the failings in his performance. That was the only time I heard them was when they were jeering off their own player,
tangentially, they had. I was slightly delayed leaving, as you guys know. And as I was leaving, sort of walked past the Leicester coach and saw a couple of the players, and they looked absolutely gutted. They looked sort of almost shell shocked. And I do think that atmosphere from the Leicester fans does affect them. It's beginning to maybe get to them, and they could really do with what the Argyle fans are doing, getting behind them a bit, just see them over the line, because they're still, given the way results gone. Anyway, that's for a Leicester chat to sort out amongst themselves. But yeah, you asked who I wanted to pick out. I thought it'd be good to just, you know, I think the whole team has improved from Rotherham to QPR to last night to actually now that was good football. Went from just green shoots and it sort of seems to have developed. And now I think both the players and the fans can believe. That was really good. And I think if I'm going to pick anyone out, it would be Nance and Dewsnip. I'm really glad for them. You know, I've questioned Neil Dewsnip. And I think you can, you know, like Simon Hallett, I didn't like some of the comments he made about sort of like the way the Green Army might have affected decision making. But I can still question that, but also think he's still one of the best chairmen, if not the best, you know, best chairman in the EFL. I think it's okay to question things. Yeah, and there were questions around Neil Dewsnip's role in the appointment of Foster, what kind of went wrong there, et cetera, et cetera. But I think both the selection and the performances of Dan Scar under Dewsnip, and just for a man who's normally quite reserved and quite selective in his language, seeing him walk around the pitch at the end of the game, he like, looks the most emotional I've ever seen him. He looks absolutely overjoyed. So whatever sort of responsibility he either bears or feels he bears in the position what he bears in the position the club are in, I think he's determined personally to put that right. And I feel like he's done a really good job. And I also feel good for him and Nance, because I think some of the performances in their interregnum reign deserve more points than they got. You know, Southampton, we should have been one up. Sort of like, what was that, 60, 70 minutes in? Watford was just ridiculous goal after ridiculous goal. Cardiff was the ridiculous back pass, mistake, error. You know, I feel quite bad that they, you know, I thought that was actually a really good, entertaining period of games, that. So, yeah, I think for Nance and Dewsnip, some validation. I think it can be the sort of claims that Dewsnip is a bit of a puppeteer behind the scenes, I think took a bit of a bashing because of the mentality that the players are talking about. He's instilled the style and the verve that they've gone out and played with, and even the team selection. You know, if he was controlling behind the scenes, why are we now playing with this team in this style and with this belief that we weren't previously? So I think he has redeemed a lot of the or countered a lot of the perceived criticism. It's not necessarily, it doesn't mean that there isn't any there to that has merit, but 10 bonus points for using the term interregnum. It's one of my favourites. It's one of my buzzwords at the minute. It's anyway, I should stop reading the comments. Yeah, so I think if I'm going to pick anyone out, it would be those two absolute heroes. Nance, obviously, already a firm favourite. The whole team performed well, and I'm glad that they did that on the national stage on Sky.
Just quickly in response to Jax's comment about how Winks being in McDonald's afterwards, I heard he was ordering a Harry meal.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay. We've already touched on the away. Yeah, brilliant. Already touched on the away fans, Sam, but Leicester themselves sort of expected a bit more. Are they on course for the biggest championship bottle ever?
Maybe, but I think I may still earn my money. So for the context for that comment earlier on, when Leicester was showing signs of having their wobble about a month and a half ago, John bet me a tenner that they would not win the league. I took that saying that they would still win the league.
Please gamble. To be fair, they are.
Yes, of course. And to be fair, okay, they're not top of the league, but I think if they even draw their game in hand, and certainly if they win, they'll be back above Ipswich and back top of the league, because Ipswich and Leeds are also doing their best to throw it away. Nobody seems to want to go up out of that league. I do think, and I want to just say a little bit about our performance that ties into that, because I know that I was rotated out of that opening round of questions, but I think that Leicester, the first 15-20 minutes were very, very good indeed. They cut us open, like, you know, almost like a knife through butter. They had one pretty decent chance, which was their best chance of the game, which I think it was Mavadidi, was it? The one that Cooper got down and the angled shot that Cooper got down and palmed out. So yeah, they were really, really good to start with. We then wrestled a bit of control back into the game and obviously then hit them on the counter-attack for the Bundu goal. Our chances created after that were very minimal, but we didn't need to be. We'd already got our lead and we were playing very safe football, but in a way that was absolutely fantastic. That was one of the all-time home park nights, without a shadow of a doubt. Yes, Leicester were not great, but I think we didn't allow them any gifts at all. You know, one or two slightly sloppy moments when the balls ran out of play for a throw-in aside, we barely allowed them a sniff, really, in terms of giving them gifts. We had to make them try and force their way through, which they didn't do. I think they lost patience. You could see that sort of promotion pressure was on. The signs of a wobble were on. Too often they just lost patience. And, well, I think at the start, they were almost being too patient. They were trying too hard to work it in and not taking chances. And then they sort of went too far the other way and took almost too many chances. And then they were just sort of trying to whip it in when it didn't need to be whipped in, and then get quite often it was either whipped into Cooper or it was whipped out for a goal kick. So, you know, they didn't do the very best they're capable of. Certainly, you know, in the 4-0 game, yes, they weren't amazing in that 90 minutes. First half, we could have easily gone in drawing or even ahead. But that when they came out the start of the second half, they absolutely destroyed us and they just didn't have that in them last night. Yes, you know, it was partly down to us being brilliant, but also their mindset dropped completely. That was just incredible how good we were. And I think this is actually a bit of a thing of, you know what, we're not just a bunch of spoiled, entitled fans or whatever that some people on Twitter sort of were saying we are when we were criticising Foster. We absolutely are very well able to appreciate a good, well-rounded defensive performance, and that is exactly what that was. We controlled the game, even though we didn't control possession, we controlled the game. We were in position. Positionally, we had great shape. We sat in when we had to. We hit them on the counter when we could. Nobody made any individual errors. And I want to just say, in terms of who I'd like to praise, Neil Dewslip, because the subs, each and every one of them, were perfect. Edwards was exactly the right choice to Miller. That was Joe Edwards' finest hour in the championship, in my opinion. There've been some games where he struggled a little bit, but he was almost flawless last night. Bringing on Gibson and then moving Galloway out to sort of left back, left wing back. It was all so deep. It was a bit of a 4-6-0 by the end, but yeah, moving Galloway further out wide and Gibson inside, that worked. And Wayne was absolutely fantastic. Ryan Hardy, who we've all said on this pod, we feel Ryan Hardy's playing through an injury, and I absolutely believe that to be the case, that he's playing through an injury. But Ben Wayne, when he came on, the first thing he did is he won the ball, cut it across, and Whittaker had a good chance of scoring. The subs were the right subs. The setup was the right setup. Tactically, it was the right setup. And wow, how good were those scenes at the end? I've seen in my time watching Argyle three promotion games and one game that sent us to Wembley, obviously the Pompey game. Barring those games, QPR, Newport, Burton and Portsmouth, I don't recall such an incredible atmosphere and such.
You weren't at Cheltenham home last year?
No.
The other game that sent us to Wembley?
No.
Well, what about those teams?
They were very much below, I should think. I can't remember such an intense depth of celebration as that which we saw last night. And yeah, special mention to Wayne, special mention to Deucip and Nance. The scenes at the end were magical. That was one of the all-time home park nights. And that was Neil Deucip and Kevin Nanceville, one of the all-time managerial performances at home park as well.
Quickly as well, what was really nice is, like, Sam and we've had those of us who've been there, sort of had the QPR promotion games. We've had those of the, who were at Vale had the Vale game, etc. But for a bunch of fans, I was sat at the back of 16. There's a good bunch of young lads who are just to the left of me there, and like they were talking about, it's got to be one of the best game we've been to, sort of thing. And this is like their moment, those kind of memories for them. It's really nice to sort of be there and sort of see, you know, because it's packed out, it's sold out every game, and it's these sort of games that get those who've just come along, because we'll see some Championship football. I'm not saying these guys are; they seem to be quite into their Argyle, but just there's a lot of young fans there who'll be like, oh yeah, I went along with my dad when I was 10, and we watched that game, and it was brilliant. And you know, it was really wonderful to sort of think this as a bigger part of the club's sort of ongoing legacy. It was a real special moment for a bunch of young fans, and another game that we can put in that quiver of those great nights. Were you there, or did you watch it on telly, etc.?
If I could just quickly come in on to give my side of the bet that Sam was referring to that we made about Leicester, because I think it's germane to talk about it. In terms of last night's game, the reason I made that bet wasn't just that they were starting to have a little wobble and I was kind of, you know, fancying, you know, being bold and putting money on something. It was because even when they were very far clear at the top, whenever I watched them, I never saw a well-coached team. I saw a team with outstanding individuals, and often those individuals had enough quality to get them over the line. But I did not see a team that I felt had a clear game plan, that had a plan B, that had a kind of, you know, clear philosophy. You watched Southampton, obviously they've had wobbles at the beginning of the season and then more recently, but during that period where they played us, okay, they were probably lucky to win that game because of the Mumba offside incident, but they were brilliant that night in terms of just the way they moved the ball was so purposeful. You could really see that Russell Martin had that kind of distinctive, you know, philosophy, and he was telling them to play a certain way. You know, Leeds as well, obviously they're having a bit of a wobble now too, but when they came down to home park and beat us 2-0, I thought they were absolutely brilliant, and they looked again like an incredibly well-coached team. And with Leicester, even when they beat us 4-0, I was really unimpressed by them. I just wasn't impressed at all. As Sam mentioned, we could very easily have gone in level at halftime in that game, probably should have done, because Bundu should have, done what he did last night, but with a much easier chance, ironically. So it could have been even at halftime. And then at the beginning of the second half, it was really a case of them giving the ball to players who were just unbelievable quality for Championship level, and they kind of ran in individual goals. And I think we saw that last night. You know, once they realized they couldn't just break us down with their, you know, their kind of normal game plan, they were completely predictable. Mavididi, I was totally unimpressed with last night. Just looked like a classic kind of yo-yo player, show pony who, you know, has quick feet, but his end product was just absolutely terrible. I think he'll be found out if they go up and he plays for them. Obviously could be wrong about that, but for me, he looks a Championship player. There's something there, or something not there, maybe, that I think you do see with Leeds and Southampton, and also with Ipswich, who are, you know, kind of a different kettle of fish because they're just playing out of their skins. But clearly, they're a brilliantly coached team. Otherwise, they'd be nowhere near where they are. So, for me, I think there have to be huge, huge question marks about Enzo Maresca. And it's not just me saying that. I think there were, you know, lower league pundits even in the summer when he got the job saying just because he's, you know, Guardiola's former assistant doesn't really mean anything. He had one previous spell in management in Italy, I believe, where he did a pretty terrible job. I have to say, I think if they don't go up, I cannot see him being there next year because it doesn't sound like their fan base is particularly happy with him. And I wouldn't be.
Maybe they probably afford to sack him with the way their financial fair play stuff's going.
There's that. But for me, he's comfortably the worst of the four managers of those four clubs who are kind of clear of everyone else. sorry, I lost my voice from last night, as you can hear as well. You know, up there in the Championship. And that was why I made that bet with Sam. And I think it really showed last night that they didn't have... It didn't just look to me like a poor performance from them, you know, like an off day. It looked like they were figured out and they didn't have a plan B. And I saw a stat today that over the last 10 games, they are fourth bottom in the form table. That is shocking. They are even lower than us. And we had Ian Foster in charge for seven of those 10 games. That is for a team with that level of quality, you've spent that much money on transfer fees and players' wages and agents' fees. That is abysmal. And it's only the fact they were, you know, so, so consistent in terms of winning games earlier in the season that, you know, that they've, that he, I think, has escaped the sack already. But that was why I made that bet with Sam. And you know, it could well be that Leeds and Ipswich are choking so much that Leicester still win the league despite themselves choking. But I was very unimpressed with them last night.
There seems to be a thing with former assistant managers of, bold former assistant managers of Champions League winners that can't quite cut it in the Championship or have a plan B. No digs there. Sam basically ticked off all my bloody questions left and even most of the social questions. Adam, I'm going to come to you back on it because it was such an incredible night and I just want to talk about the event itself a bit more. Obviously, where does this rank in the pantheon of Argyle home games for you? Joe gave it the big ones on socials last night, claiming it to be our biggest win ever. That seems a bit much.
I mean, maybe, but it can't be too far off. I mean, particularly in terms of, as you say, Aaron, the event, I felt it actually quite a while before kickoff. And only the people I travelled with will know this, but I ended up working late and my bus was delayed because of a closed road. So that was already a bad start. But even then, I think you should stop
getting buses, mate. You didn't make it to Wembley. You can't make it to Argyle.
Yeah, two out of two ain't great. Although, in fairness, this time, at least it wasn't the bus's fault. I can sue National Express for this one. So, hey, we go again. But I think, point being, even when that happens, and even when I'm well behind my drinking schedule, I was still excited for the game. It felt like the sort of event we all wanted to be at. And to be honest, it was night and day from the QPR game. I felt, okay, I know the QPR game still had a good atmosphere. I'm not saying it like that. But after that game, I found myself feeling quite deflated, quite disappointed. Like, it felt like we'd got away with one. We'd taken a point when three would have been so transformative. And coming into this game, it was just like, well, I mean, it's a bit of a free hit. We're probably going to lose it and we'll see where we are after that. So the transformation in mood from there to suddenly where we found ourselves coming into this was very exciting. And as we've mentioned, the Green Army did not stop. And as I've mentioned, that applied to many corners of the ground, even those there you wouldn't expect it. And it only carried on after the game as well. You know, the fact that there was still the singing outside the ground, I can't necessarily remember that happening very often at all, in truth, that atmosphere just carried on after the final whistle into the bars, into, you know, where we were, just outside the ground. It was genuinely brilliant. Now, where does it rank? I mean, you could have an hour-long conversation ranking those, but I think Sam probably put it quite nicely in that you're looking at the promotion games and you're looking at the game that took us to Wembley, the one visit that was important. So, I think it's got to be up there with those. It will obviously be tinged with a little bit of grey if we don't stay up now, but probably not much, because as much as we didn't beat AFC Wimbledon at Wembley, we're not exactly still looking back at that Portsmouth game and going, oh, well, that was a bit over the top, wasn't it? It was still a great occasion, and this will always remain a great occasion now, no matter what happens. And the privilege, I think, of being there, experiencing that atmosphere, and just seeing it around me. As I say, when everybody joined in, I I don't think I can repeat on air exactly what it said, but it was a bit of shock, put it that way. The amount of noise that was coming from everyone around the ground, and yeah, it was a great event. And I think Argyle, I know you. It's a conversation that we had in the past in terms of playing the game and playing the occasion. Argyle played both excellently, got roared home. And yeah, the memories from that are going to last with me for a long time, whatever happens. And hopefully it will be the points we need. And we can look at it in an even greater light than we do already.
Ben, Sam and John have already touched on it, but again, just want to relive it a little bit more. A couple of social questions from Gossy and VBTS, the Butters. Gossy asks, was that the best atmosphere you've heard from start to finish? I've been going since 1999, and I think that was it. And Vibitus asks, vastly improved atmosphere. Why do you think that was? Sky cameras, no expectations from the game. Friday night, so everybody's on the source. Stewards told to be more lenient. More of the same would be nice going into next season.
Yeah, I think as for atmospheres, the Pompey game for me was just, I think that the mood that was created between the team and the fan base, I think the fans really felt connected with that team. They were gritty. They were, they fought hard. And we really sort of kicked every ball with that team, which isn't always the case. Hasn't always been the case. As good as a support we are, there's not always that sort of real connection. So I think that game was sort of like, it was almost like an out of body kind of experience celebrating that goal. It was just, again, like last night, kind of one of those perfectly scripted, perfectly narrated kind of moments. That's the one I compared it to. But with this, I thought that was loud throughout, but I was sat in the Devonport then. And sometimes when you're in and amongst it, it can sound loud, whether you, whether the rest of the ground is making the noise or not. Being in 16 last night, I could hear it from everywhere, sort of like the blocks to the left of me, to the left of the screen, or the right, as everyone would be looking at the screen. The Mayflower was fantastic. The Lyndhurst, I remember looking right down the Lyndhurst, and everything was bouncing. And the scaffold around the camera, it was just quite interesting that people were saying the camera was moving, because I was looking at people jumping up and down around the scaffold for the Sky camera, thinking, I bet that's not feeling too pleasant for the guy who stood there. It's up there. I would probably say, because we scored early and then it was backs to the wall, that kind of added, that sort of infused the atmosphere, because we had something then to hang on to. I genuinely can't remember what the first 20 minutes of the atmosphere was like, but I seem to remember it being quite good already. But the narrative plays into that, doesn't it? Once you've got that goal, it's then a case of, we've all gone mental, now let's hang on to it. Why is it? I think it comes down to a number of things. One, going back to last season, the club has become very united again, even more so, I think, than that team I was just talking about, and sort of like the way Adam's sort of got a great kind of atmosphere going, and vibe between the players and the fans. But also, that's been created and excelled, I think the club and the fans and the players especially really relish that support and that kind of siege mentality that was created last season when everyone was talking about the other teams, and we were going to drop off and all that. And I think that unity was special. And then it kind of got punctured, didn't it? Shuey went. That did damage. Managed to ride that out. Foster came in, obviously sort of took a blowtorch to the self-esteem and the confidence of the squad, according to reports. And it was almost like, I think for the players and for us, we kind of got our Argyle back last night. I think that's what it was. I think it was, we weren't sure what was going to happen. We got the Rotherham win. Great. QPR, it was better. But I think last night, finally, the players came out and showed, we can do this. We believed them as fans and got behind them. And I think it was just that coalescence of joy, I think, of being able to get back that what we had at the start of the season, what we had last season. It's almost like we appreciated it that little bit more. We had it back, but it was because we had been threatened, and maybe even we thought it had been lost in that sort of last three months. To have it back and to put ourselves on the brink of survival was just a real, I think it was a real expression of joy, both on the pitch for the players, justification for for them, and also, or validation rather, for them, and for us to sort of like that we haven't wasted sort of the last 18 months of really good work by this team and by the club. So I think it was that kind of finding that we still had what we thought we might have lost so recently. I think that was sort of like the vibe, everyone ecstatic to sort of find that we still had the love between us all, and not just that, but the ability to, you know, the players said we got them over the line, and we certainly appreciated this, not just the effort, but the skill they put on display for us on the pitch. And I think that was it was just that perfect sort of storm of emotion about the about coming through the tough time we've had for the past 3 months.
Yeah, I've mentioned it before, I think, maybe on the pod, but like, I used to cringe at people saying like the West Ham way, or like, you know, a club having like a specific style or a thing they long for. But, you know, when you say about having our Argyle back, it's like, you know, even though it was only 3 months, it feels like it was gone for far too long. It's just good to have that.
Look, I want to just say as well, it is a really fluid concept. It's not like we're not Swansea fans where we say it has to be possession based. It can't be direct. It can't be this. It can't be that. Let's have it right. In the best possible way, and this is me who's just gone on about what a great occasion it was. It was a pretty defensive performance, and that's not in any way a criticism. We got the lead, we sat back and defended, and yes, we still hit them on the counter in when we could, but it was fundamentally a backs against the wall defence first performance, and nobody was moaning about it. So really, the problem with Foster wasn't just that it was defensive, that played into it, but it was the fact that it was inadequate, it was badly executed, we didn't have the potency on the counter that we did show last night, we didn't show the spirit, the togetherness, you know, the defensive quality, any of that sort of stuff that we showed last night. So actually, yes, there is an Argyle way, but only in, it's a very wide umbrella term. Really, we're not saying that it has to be possession-based. We're not even saying that it has to be attacking, necessarily. We're saying we have to stand up to teams, go toe-to-toe with them, and give it our best shot of beating them, which we absolutely did. Oh, look, would I like to see us play every game like we did last night? No. But I think Neil Dewsip himself would agree on that, because he said in the interview, even after such an amazing performance, he said himself, we would have liked to have seen a little more of the ball, but Leicester are on opposition with a lot of quality. So, you know, I don't think for a minute that's the way we're going to approach every game. So I think actually for when a lot of people who have said that the Foster stuff reflects badly, you know, and yes, of course, usual caveats, some people were genuinely abusive, and of course that was wrong. But more broadly, if people are saying that the Foster era reflects badly on us as fans, I don't think it does, because I think that showed that we are fans who can appreciate a really quality defensive performance when it's executed rightly. And last night was the absolute paramount example of that. There's a comment here from Sniper Simon that said last night was how Foster tried to play, but ultimately said it all wrong. I wouldn't really disagree with that. And if he had have executed it a lot better, you know, I still wouldn't have liked to see it in every game, but if it had been executed better and it had worked, we would have been a lot more open to it and he would have got a lot more points.
Yeah, I mean, John, you're next, the Foster apologist. I don't know if you want to reply to that. No, I'm joking. Again, I only wanted tonight to really be like an hour, but we've got quite a bit to cover. John, I feel like this is a question for you anyway. Obviously, we got atted by the celebration police on Twitter last night. You know, have we gone a bit too early, and do the results today dampen those celebrations somewhat? Do we look stupid if we go down?
No, I don't think so. because I think this sort of comes back to the previous discussion as well. I sort of agree with all the comments about why it was such a kind of amazing atmosphere. Part of it is, and this is an atmosphere, sort of an attitude that I've tried to maintain all season, even when things have been a bit difficult at times, is this is why we want to be here. This was the point of going up, right? Like, ultimately, obviously, you want to, you know, do as well as you can, be in as high a league as you can for all sorts of reasons. The club want to do it for, you know, money and all the rest of it, among other things. But as fans, you want to be in this league to have games like last night, to go toe-to-toe against huge clubs who in our, you know, very recent lifetimes have won Premier Leagues and FA Cups, and go toe-to-toe with them as equals, not kind of like a, you know, a cup tie sort of scenario where you're in League One, they're in the Premier League, and you're just having a go at them as a kind of one-off thing. But that's, you know, it's a twice a season fixture, and you go toe to toe with them, and you know, and obviously last night you come out beating them. And that's what you want. So I'm not going to make any apologies for having a big celebrate. Now, listen, obviously, I hope the players, you know, are not reacting like they did after the Burton game last season necessarily. I don't want to impugn the quality of training that week, but I think it's been pretty publicly acknowledged there was quite a lot of, you know, celebrating going on, which is quite right.
I don't think the players would have gone out last night, would they, John? That couldn't.
No, definitely not. So, look, I think I'll, you know, enjoy the weekend, and then I'm sure that the attitude will be back in on Monday morning or whenever, and we've got a big game on Saturday, and a big game after that, and a big game after that. You know, I think really it's their reaction that matters, and obviously, yeah, if they think they're on the beach, and then it turns out that we lose next week, and the results all are horrible for us, and we go back to being 1 point above it, that's obviously going to be squeaky bum time again. Now, I think that's probably quite unlikely at this point, which is another part of why it's justified to celebrate so much. But even if we do go down from here, you know, you've got to enjoy nights like that, because otherwise there's no point in being here. So I don't think we'll look stupid. I don't think we'll look stupid at all. That being said, I think we've put ourselves in a great position. You mentioned the results today. Yeah, obviously, you know, it would have been very nice if Birmingham had not won 3-0 against a Coventry team who appear to be mentally at Wembley already for their FA Cup semi-final. And it probably would have been nice if, well, our fans might disagree on this one. I think it probably would have been nice if Stoke had pulled out a win at Sheffield Wednesday just to put an extra nail into their coffin, although a draw obviously ended up not being a bad result there. And then obviously you've got the Huddersfield draw, which on the one hand is a bit annoying they got a point, because again, it would have been lovely for all the teams below us to lose, but they were on the cusp of all three. I haven't seen it back, but I think Sam, you mentioned it looked a very dodgy decision.
Dreadful. Over the Huddersfield fan, I'm absolutely hopping.
Right. It's a dreadful 100th minute penalty, basically, to not win. Suddenly, you know, it's 4 points rather than three. And obviously we've got a better goal difference as well. Which if anyone finishes level with us, I think, unless we have a disastrous last few weeks of the season or another team starts to just run in the goals, then that'll probably be enough to sort of shade us over if it ends up tied. So yeah, so I'm not gonna, you know, I think today's results were not like universally ideal, but ultimately we gave ourselves such a good cushion that, you know, with the win last night, that even kind of suboptimal results ended up being quite good for us. And as I think Ben said earlier, no one would really have said if we'd come into this weekend that you know, you'd expect to be more comfortably clear by, I mean, twice as much, right, of the relegation zone as we were coming in. I think everyone would have bitten hands off for that very, very quickly. So, yeah, and then just quickly as a comment on screen, stop thinking every team owes us a favour. I'm not saying any team owes us a favour, but I think that gets to a good point, which is all we can do is worry about ourselves. We did that on Friday. You know, we didn't come out and think, well, you know, the other fixtures this game week look like they might be favourable to us or whatever, so it doesn't really matter if we don't get a result here. No, they went out. It was the toughest fixture we've got left this season, and they had a right good go, and they won the game. So if we play like that again three times in a row, we are definitely not going to get 0 points from those three opponents. Definitely not. And probably one more point, two more points is going to be absolutely enough to keep us up. Three definitely would be. So, you know, yeah, there is a, you know, we need to worry about ourselves, and we did that on Friday. And so, yeah, results today could have been nicer, but every win that we get is a huge, huge step towards it based on kind of worrying about our own business. And I think celebrating that accordingly is totally fine.
Put it this way, where yes, you know, would have been nice if one of Wednesday or Huddersfield or both could have lost. Would have been nice if Birmingham could have failed to win, but we're now 4 points clear of the drop, whereas we were two before the game week and a game less to play. So that's on the
celebrations. I mean, football is a game of moments. What's the point of, like, if you win the game, what's the point of saying, oh, hang on, lads, steady? Like the whole Hass and Hootle meme. You know, like, we're not, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, that's like saying we beat Norwich 6-2, but we should all have been like, now keep pipe down, lads, because there's a long way to go yet. We might get relegated. You know, you have to enjoy the moment. Sometimes you score a goal and then 5 minutes later you concede and the moment is gone. So you have to enjoy it while it's there. There's no point thinking ahead. The whole point of going to football is to get lost in the moment, to get away from reality. You're in the moment. You're in the zone and nothing else matters. That's the whole point of football. And if you're going to sort of contextualize that, and I'm talking about sort of, you know, even statistically and things, sometimes you just have to feel the emotions of the game and then go home, cool off, and then you can look at things later. But football is about, it's entirely for an escape into the moment. So of course, you know, we're absolutely entitled to go nuts. And I think that if you sort of like celebration police that, then you're following the wrong entertainment.
And also, I don't know if anybody saw the video of Mike Cooper talking into a phone with a camera angle, rather like me in my normal posture when he's looking, where he's looking down into the phone. In that video, he said, long way to go, points still to play for. So I think all of the players know there's points still to play for. End of discussion.
We haven't heard any. Oh, go on.
Yeah. I was just going to say, with the celebrations, if with the current management team that we've got, we were saying it's six cup finals to go, don't be surprised if at the end of winning one, you celebrate like you've won a cup final. Yeah, this is what it's all about, particularly at this time of the season. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it in my eyes.
To be fair, we shouldn't really call it a cup final because we don't turn up for those either, do we? And on Michael Cooper, definitely not heard anything else from him last night, did we, John? And reverting back to Ben's comment, telling Norwich fans to pipe down is what I've been doing for quite some time. Do we need
Cooper, by the way, just quickly on Cooper. I'm not saying he's been bad since coming back in at all, but that was right back, you know, the couple of bit rusty moments in his first few games back in. Wasn't that just right back to the absolute Mike Cooper of last season? He was absolutely fantastic. Collected every cross, got his body where you wouldn't have thought he could have got it, punched when he had to, collected when he could, and made that one very good save from Mavididi early in the game. Pretty much a near flawless performance from him. The only reason I say near, couple of kicks that went out of play, but by and large, distribution good as well. How brilliant was it to see the Michael Cooper of last season back and doing it against championship opponents? If we can keep him fit for next season, I think he's worth an extra 7-8 points all by himself, maybe more.
Well, that's Jacob's social question answered for you there about Michael Cooper's performance. Do we need a ref watch before we ask the others? I'm not really asked about the ref now, to be honest. I'm not like Joe. I sort of get over it once we've won. If we lose, yeah, fine. Go on, John.
I'll do it quickly. I thought he was very bad. And I think it was a classic case of asking a Premier League referee to referee a game not at that level, where it's actually a very different pursuit because you don't have VAR, you don't have some of the same kind of trappings of what you get resources-wise as a Premier League referee. But I think also there's just kind of a different expectation around things like physicality. And I just found some of the decisions absolutely baffling last night. You know, I don't think there were any major calls that ruined the game or anything. I did think in the ground, maybe that Pleggy one on Dewsbury Hall where Pleggy slipped and seemed to put his arms out was a bit of a heart-in-mouth moment. But having seen it back, I think it would have been extremely, extremely soft to the point of definitely not being a penalty. But there were sort of other decisions which, you know, I guess could have impacted the game on a different night. A number of yellow cards for our players that I thought were just really, really strange. The Morgan Whittaker one, I haven't seen that individual one back, but I cannot understand why he's been booked. I just genuinely don't understand. It looked like he got the ball. If he didn't get the ball, it just looks like a standard, you know, kind of niggly foul in the middle of the pitch. It doesn't, there's nothing in it. And yet he's come away with a yellow card very early in the game. Obviously then it only takes one kind of Alfie Devine style lapsing concentration from him. And you know, then it's a completely different game. You know, ditto Wayne late on. I cannot for the life of me understand how Wayne has not only been booked for getting just literally just kicking the ball away and then happening to just kind of brush the other player's ankle because the other player runs into him. I cannot understand how that is a foul at all, let alone a booking. It was disgraceful.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Full decision. So, yeah, again, we won, so it doesn't really matter. There weren't a huge number of like particularly contentious kind of major decisions that affected the course of the game, but if that's a standard of refereeing in the Premier League, I can understand why Premier League fans are upset about it. I thought he was really quite bad.
Before we move on to the social questions, I'm just going to put in a bit here that I don't normally do. That if you're listening to this on an audio platform, I'm going to cut it in half here because it's well too long. So go find part two.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.